Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Socratic Method with your host, me, Alexander Bizzotti. I'm an entrepreneur, content creator, athlete, and aspiring scientist and engineer who loves talking to people and is extremely curious. This podcast and show is made for the curious mind interested in broad topics and perspectives. On the Socratic Method, we talk about business, science, fitness, life, personal and professional development, politics, God, religion, current events, the origins of the universe, emotion, and everything in between. It just all depends on where the conversation takes us. I like to bring on people who I find extremely interesting, people who are extremely passionate about what they do, and people who are down for a deep and meaningful conversation with yours truly. If you enjoy this episode, please leave an honest rating, subscribe or follow depending on what audio platform you listen with, turn on notifications so you stay up to date on when the newest episodes come out, and find us on Instagram at Socratic Method Show for all clips and updates related to the Socratic Method podcast and show. Now, before the episode begins, here's a little bit about our guest. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 12 of the Socratic Method. Today, I had the chance to speak with a fellow alumni from my high school, Caroline Ta. She is the founder and owner of Sweets by Caroline, where she brings her customers delicious, customizable, gluten-free French macaroons, cakes, and other desserts, all made from scratch. She offers simple and unique flavors that will leave your taste buds coming back for more. I'm not a big dessert person, but I will most definitely be placing an order this week, and I recommend you do the same. Caroline is a Montgomery College and University of Maryland graduate, where she earned degrees in business, supply chain management, and marketing. During her time in college, she won the 2021 Rudy Awards Student Entrepreneur of the Year. I know, very impressive. And additionally, she was a 2020 Pitch Dingman finalist and PPE award recipient, and earned a spot as a finalist in the Raptor Tank, which is a spinoff of the obviously infamous Shark Tank show. Caroline also has a large social media following across various platforms, and she has worked on this business for over half a decade now and sees no signs of slowing down. We talked about a bunch of different things related to her business, her life, school, what she's learned in business so far, and a bunch of different things, and some questions from my curiosity tour. So that's enough for me. Thank you so much again, Caroline, for coming on. It was the first time we ever spoke. She's an awesome person. I highly recommend you go check her out and buy some desserts. So yeah, that's enough for me. Let's jump into the episode and yeah, enjoy. Awesome. So first question was just when did you start Sweets by Caroline? And then how did it come about?
Yeah, so I started Sweets by Caroline when I was in high school. Like, I just started an Instagram page for fun because I was really into baking, like, ever since I was little. And so I just created an Instagram account and was just posting about French macarons because at that time it was just really popular. And so I just decided that I wanted to make it. But when I was in high school, I was like obsessed. I was like in my era of like obsession over cupcakes because of like Cupcake Wars and like Cake Boss and like all of this stuff on TV. So that was kind of like my inspiration. And then I started the Instagram page in high school. And then it wasn't really until I went to college or I started college that I started getting really into the business. So I went to school at Montgomery College and I went in as an accounting and finance major. And then I soon realized that accounting was just like not for me after my first accounting class. And I was like, I just can't see myself doing this for the rest of my life. Like, this is just not for me. So I just turned to baking as like a way to relieve stress and just like, you know, get away from it. And then that was when I decided to kind of turn my passion into a business. And when I was in school, I did like a bunch of pitch competitions, just like found a lot of resources to help with like building a business and like entrepreneurship and things like that. So that was kind of how I started it. And then it wasn't until my junior year at UMD that I incorporated my business to an LLC. So that was when I was like, okay, I'm like really doing it.
Yeah. Awesome. So a lot of questions out of that.
Yes.
The first one, which I'm very curious about, which I plan to ask you eventually, was do you like baking shows? And the second part of that, would you ever want to go on a baking show yourself and compete?
Yeah, I love baking shows. I like watching them. Like as I'm baking sometimes, I'll just be like having something in the background playing. So I like watching them and like learning different techniques and like, you know, recipes and things like that, or like flavor combinations from watching the shows. And I would like to compete on a baking show. I was a casting member did reach out to me to go on a baking show. And so I did all, like I sent an audition, an application and stuff, but then it just didn't really go through, which is fine. But it was like fun to see like what that process was like and like almost being there, you know, like just imagining that. So it was very fun to like go through that process. So I think in the future, maybe the near future, I don't know yet, but like I do want to go on a baking show one day. I feel like it'd be really fun.
What's like seen as the most popular one? Most popular baking show, you'd say.
I feel like a lot of people have been watching the British baking show on Netflix. Like, I feel like that's been a popular one on Netflix. There's like a couple of them on like Food Network that are very like cake based, like building cakes, like extravagant cakes. Or I don't remember, there's like another one on Netflix. There's a bunch on Netflix, but it's just like a bunch of dessert type of like different challenges to come up with a dessert or something like that. So I think I would want to go on something related to just like different dessert challenges versus like extravagant like cake sculptures and things like that.
And I'm guessing some of the shows, I don't know a ton about baking shows, but I have seen the Great British Baking Show. Some of the shows, right, are kind of more focused on like people who do baking as a hobby, and then some of them are more people who do baking as a profession. So I'm guessing obviously you'd be in the one baking as a profession, but are those always a little bit more competitive? And if you do win, like, is that typically what people will use as an advertisement for their business? Like, oh, hey, I won, like, I was the winner on blah, blah, blah show. Is that a typical thing? Do you know?
Yeah, I think there are some that are like hobby based and just like people that are baking for fun, and then other ones are like more competitive on like I think the money is, there's a lot more money involved in like those a lot more competitive type of baking shows, like the extravagant cake ones and like, but I feel like I would enjoy the more chill ones because I feel like I'm competitive, but I'm not like that competitive because when I'm like, I feel like it'd be too stressful if it was like an extremely competitive, you know, baking show, then it wouldn't be any more fun, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And so, back to the timeline of Sweets by Caroline. So when you're in high school and doing it as a hobby, I don't know a ton, but I know a little bit because we went to the same high school. But I was a grade below, I think. Were
Yes, I think so,
you
yeah.
usually selling them? You were selling them, or were you kind of just making them for events, or just making them for friends to enjoy for fun? What it kind of looked like in that way?
Yeah, when I was in high school, I was in that like cupcake era. So I remember I would just do it for fun. So I would, you know how like whenever you have sports fundraisers, you guys would always have to like do some type of fundraiser to raise money for your club or like your sports club or something or like the team. So every time like the bake sale was like very common. So I would always be the one that was like baking stuff or like coming up with ideas for like the baking fundraiser. So that was like kind of how I started, was just like baking cupcakes and like cake pops and like brownies and Rice Krispies, like very like basic things for like the bake sales. So I would never really like take the profit, and it was mostly like for the fundraiser and just like for fun. So that was like kind of how I started like in high school. Yeah. And then I started the Instagram account where I just posted for fun.
When you were in college and taking your accounting classes, was it still kind of in the back of your mind, like, maybe I could turn this into a business? Or were you like, no, I kind of don't want to go all in on that and just enjoy it as a hobby?
Yeah, when I first was at Montgomery College, I didn't really know what I wanted to do going into school. Like after I graduated from high school, like going to MC was kind of like the last place that I wanted to go because like I feel like there still is maybe a stigma about community college, but you know, I feel like there's that stigma that community college is for like stupid people or like for dumb people. Like, why would you want to go to community college? But in my opinion, I think community college is like very smart way to go. You'll save money. And just like there are just so many opportunities there, I think. And I ended up going there on a full scholarship. So when I went in, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go in as an accounting and finance major. Like, this was kind of the path that my family wanted me to go on because it's like a stable income coming out of school. Like, you know, go into this type of accounting financial field so that when you come out of school, you're like fine and you don't have to worry about money. So that was kind of my mindset going into college. But I never wanted to be an accountant or be in that financial field. I was just doing it for my family. And when I truly took that first class for accounting and realized that, like, I think I would hate doing this for the rest of my life, that was when I was like, okay, what can I do differently? And, like, that was when I turned to baking, like, just as an outlet, not as, like, oh, I'm gonna do this as a business. It was just like, let me do this for fun for now. And then I did a pitch competition on a whim just to like learn more about, because there were like workshops within the pitch competition process, like marketing workshops, financial workshops. So I just did the pitch competition on a whim, not thinking that I would compete, like, you know, perform and like pitch an idea. And I ended up winning the pitch competition. And that was kind of like the validation to me that, like, okay, I can do this. Like, it's actually very possible that I could pursue baking as a business and as a profession. Like, if I could do this pitch competition, then like what else can I do with this business? So that was when I was like, okay, this is the validation that I feel like I needed. I feel like I'm on the right path. And that was kind of like what really pushed me to pursue the business and pursue baking full time.
That is so funny. Really just stumbled into the pitch competition and then ended up winning the whole thing.
Yeah, I really wasn't
That's gotta
expecting
be a
to win. Like,
sign.
I just did it for fun. Yeah, and then I'm so glad that I did it. And I feel like had I not gone to community college and like met the people that like pushed me to do the competition and just everything at community college, I never would have been where I am today, I feel like. So that's why I'm such a big advocate for community college.
Yes, I on that note, I definitely agree that going to community college, especially MC, because MC is an insanely good community college compared to the rest of the country.
It's
Like if
great.
you, I would recommend like college students, if you don't know exactly what you want to do, why would you go to a 4-year college or university, pay all that money, and then go into debt when you come out when you could go to a community college for 2 years, not pay as much, figure out what you want to do, and then move on to a college or university. It is really just a smarter option. I also heard from Bob. I had him on the episode, and I think he told me, or I heard from him at some point, or saw it online somewhere, that I think he came second in the pitch competition, right? Or no?
Who was it? I'm sorry, like cut out.
I was just asking about, I had Bob on within an earlier episode on the podcast, and I don't remember if it
Oh
was
my
on the podcast
gosh.
or it was just like sometime off camera. We were talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear the
Yes. Oh my
question?
gosh.
Okay, awesome.
Yes, I did. Bob, we went to community college. We went to MC together and high school together as well, but I didn't really know him more until I went to community college. And I did the pitch the year before him, and then he did the pitch the year after me. And then he won. I can't remember if it
Oh,
was first or
okay.
second place, but he won. And look at where he has now, and he's doing amazing. We've, you know, kept in touch, you know, and talk, and, you know, he's awesome. Yeah. I'm so proud of him. And he's been doing incredible now. He has his own store, and he's just
he's
been doing amazing. And I think he's done work for you as well, like for the t-shirts and like his sweaters and hoodies. Yeah. He's also done my apron, my t-shirts, my tote bags. Like, yeah, he's awesome, and I'm so proud of him and like what he's doing. So, yeah, he's awesome.
I know. I feel like it should be a sign for people that want to start their own business to the seeing like you and Bob going MC and going that route and how it's worked out so well. Yeah. So no one should look down upon going to community college at all. My sister went to community college, and she has her PhD
That's
now.
Awesome.
So
yeah,
it's like it's not a bad route at all.
No, it really isn't.
And so on that note also, though, as I was raving about community college, do you think it's a good route for, or for you at least, being a business owner now? Do you think going to school helped you in running your own business?
Yes. At first, when I was at community college, I think it was in the middle of my first year, after the pitch competition and like a little bit after that, I was like debating if I wanted to drop out of school, because I was like, I know what I want to do. Like, I want to do this business full time. Like, I just want to drop out. But I know my parents would like hate that. So I was like, okay, let me just stay in school for them and just like continue doing school. But I'm really glad that I stayed in school, because there are so many resources at UMD, at Montgomery College, just like for entrepreneurship, just like funding if you need it. Especially at UMD, there's a program called a business center called the Dingman Center, and it's all for entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And like, there are resources, there are mentors, there are workshops and programs that you can be in and like to help you with your journey or your venture. So I think staying in school is a good idea, and I think people should stay in school even if you know what you want to do. I think the experience of going to school and opportunities, like, you probably never would have made those connections with those people if you weren't in school. Just like the whole networking and like, you know, classes are sometimes like whatever, like, you know, you don't want to study and stuff, but I think the connections and networking and opportunities that could be brought to you, and even after graduating, like the connections that you make are very worth it, and that you should stay in school. So stay in school.
And what was maybe the biggest thing that you learned while in college that's benefited you running your business?
I would say is to connect with anyone that you can, and, you know, just connect and talk and go to these, you know, different events and meet different people, because you never know who you could meet and what the connection could be out of school. Like, had I not gone to community college, I probably wouldn't have met like Bavik or the, you know, other entrepreneurs within those workshops that, you know, gave us advice, like marketing advice, financial advice. And I'm still connected with a lot of the people that I met through MC, and like they place orders with me, or, you know, they'll recommend me to someone else. So just having those connections is really awesome. So,
Yeah. And what is not the end goal, but like one of the bigger goals with Sweets by Caroline? And I kind of asked this because you mentioned how Bob has his own store now. What for you is kind of like the next big goal now that it's kind of taken off, it's hitting new levels, and you're growing on social medias? Would the next step, you want to open your own shop? And I know you have your own kitchen, but like a storefront where people could come in, buy your stuff and all that.
Yeah, I think my next goal would definitely be either like opening up a bakery or a storefront, or possibly pivoting to opening up my own commercial kitchen. Right now, I work in a shared commercial kitchen in Frederick, Maryland. So it's like just a shared kitchen with a bunch of other like caterers and bakers. So it's not like fully my kitchen. So that's why I kind of want to find a space to create into my own commercial kitchen, my own studio, and then be able to be a resource for other home bakers that are transitioning into like wanting to be in a commercial kitchen. Since when I was looking for a commercial kitchen during the pandemic, it was very difficult to find resources, or like to find a not so expensive kitchen. So I want to be able to help you know, people that are transitioning from being a home baker or just wanting to look for a commercial kitchen space to, you know, mm-hmm. to be a resource to them for that, since it was so difficult for me when I was looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So what was it like kind of running the business? Because I'm guessing you turned it into an LLC and started going full time into it almost right when COVID hit, right?
Yeah.
Around that same time. Mm-hmm. So what was that whole experience like, where you decide to go jump all in on it and then boom, just COVID hits?
So I actually had to incorporate, when I was at UMD, I did another pitch competition called the Pitch Dingman Competition. And it's similar to mm-hmm. the one at MC that I did. But for the one at UMD, the requirement was that you would have to incorporate your business into an LLC or something just for like the tax purposes and things like that, if you were to win the reward for the competition. Yeah. So that was kind of what pushed me to incorporate my business. And I'm glad that I did incorporate it, because I feel like had I not, then I wouldn't be as serious or taking it as seriously as I am now. So I had to incorporate it my junior year during the pitch competition. And then I think during my senior year, it was during the end of my junior year. That was when COVID started. And so I ended up moving back home, and I just continued baking from my home. And I pivoted into shipping options, since people didn't want to like come pick up and, you know, things like that because of COVID. So that was when I pivoted to shipping macarons and contactless pickup and just different things to like get these baked goods to people. Cause so that was kind of what I did during COVID, or the peak of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So trying to have to pivot towards more the online and non-contact route. So do you think you would want to build out more the online presence, or do you want to focus more on the in-person, like a storefront kind of thing? Or do you want to have like a balance of both?
I would say I prefer more local or like in-person things versus shipping, just because like shipping is not always like guaranteed. Like there's always some like, you know, with macarons, you have to ship it with like an ice pack, you know, to things to keep it cool. And there's just a lot of logistical things that could go wrong. And sometimes it doesn't get there on time. Sometimes there's breakage. So there's a lot more like risk, I feel like, with shipping things out. And I prefer, you know, things that are local where people can pick up, or, you know, I can meet up with them or deliver. So more in-person type of like storefront. Yeah.
Yeah. And who are the majority of your customers right now, you would say? Like, is it usually like for events or parties and things like that? What would you say?
A lot of my customer base are moms or people that are having weddings, people that are planning the birthday party. So I have a lot of event planners that contact me. I have brides, or, you know, people that are planning their wedding. I have, but majority of it are like female moms that are planning birthday parties or looking for gifts for people. So I would say that's kind of like my target audience as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is your favorite item that you make?
My favorite item?
Personally.
I would say,
in terms of taste and eating.
I would say, like, my favorite flavor would be a salted caramel macaron. That was the first thing that I ever learned how to make, or when I was doing macarons. So that's my favorite flavor. And that's also one of our popular flavors as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is the most popular one, you would say?
The salted caramel macaron.
Salted caramel. Okay. Okay. What's your favorite to make?
My favorite to make... I like making salted caramel because that is my favorite, but I've been trying to like innovate it and turn, you know, try different flavors. So recently I did a miso caramel. So it's like kind of like a miso paste mixed in with the salted caramel. So it's kind of like salty, sweet, like an umami type of flavor. So just like something different than like your normal salted caramel. Yeah.
Yeah. What was kind of the toughest part when going full time into the business? What was some big roadblocks that you had or things you had to face that were very difficult?
I would say imposter syndrome, feeling like I was very alone in the process, because when I graduated, I really wasn't sure if I wanted to do it full time, just because it's not like your normal route when you graduate from college. Like, 9-to-5 job, like, is your typical. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wasn't really sure that I wanted to do it full time. But ultimately, I decided that I wanted to do it full time because I did entertain the thought of post-graduation, I could get a part-time job and then I could do the business on the side, just as how I had been doing it in college. But I feel like I wouldn't really be giving it my all had I done that. And it would almost be the same as me, you know, when I was in school, I was a full-time student and I was doing it on the side. So it would just be the same. So I was like, I need to give myself a year, see if I can do it. And if not, then that's okay. Like, I can just pivot and do something else. But I want to at least give myself a year to really put everything into it and see if I can do it. And it's been past a year and I've been doing it full time. So it's been, I feel like I made the right decision. So,
Wow. Yeah. So, and what's your opinion towards that? I know it's tough to give an opinion on, but I always debate, like, starting a business while working. Sometimes, you know, it's a little difficult to go all in on it. What would be your advice to people that are in that kind of tough spot where they need a steady income and the business doesn't give them that yet, but they also want to give all they can to the business? And so that kind of debate, what advice would you have?
I would say create maybe a spreadsheet or some sort to kind of like create a goal for yourself to see if you can, like, kind of work backwards. So, like, if you want to make X amount per year, start backwards. Mm-hmm. There's 12 months in a year. How much do you have to make each month in order to make that end year goal of, like, how much you typically want to make, right? And then kind of, like, work month by month. How much do I have to make? How many macarons do I have to make in 1 month to reach this month goal? Or how many events do I need to do to reach this goal? Like, is it possible? Am I paying myself enough? And I think if you work backwards like that and figure out what you have to do each month versus, like, you know, doing a whole big picture and just, like, I think you need to, like, break it down so that you can see if it's actually attainable. And, you know, if it is, then I would say go for it. And if it's not, then I think still maybe work your part-time job and see what you can do. But if you're really, like, passionate and, you know, you really want to do this and maybe you're not happy at your part-time job or, like, it's, you don't see yourself doing it forever, I think just take a chance on yourself and go for it. I feel like, you know, if it doesn't work out for you, then, like, you can always change it or go back to doing something. There, I feel like there's so many opportunities that you can still do in your lifetime. So just take a chance while you're young and just go for it. And then if it doesn't work out, that's okay. Pivot, figure something else out. So I think just go for it. Yeah.
I like that a lot. I like that. And I try to say that to people. Like, if you are interested in starting a business, I feel like it sounds so counterintuitive, but doing it when you're young, I feel like a lot of people say that just because you don't have as much responsibility, as much as, like, bills. You don't have a ton of bills that you're obligated by. But it's also that back and forth where it's like, but do you have enough experience to run a business, and the imposter syndrome? What has helped you get through that, kind of?
I would say surrounding myself with people that also can relate to me, like keeping in touch with people like Bavik or people that are within my industry, people that I've met on Instagram or online from different events. Like, they've really encouraged me to, like, keep doing what I'm doing and seeing other people that are also within my field really make it far or, you know, be successful in what they're doing. I think that has been really inspiring and has pushed me to, like, keep on doing what I'm doing. And just, like, the people that I've met from my events and, like, networking with other entrepreneurs, like, that has also kept me very, like, level-headed and, you know, shown me that, like, I can do it. And, you know, I've come so far, and, like, I think I can, you know, still keep pushing and hopefully inspire other people to, like, still chase after their ventures and their dreams. So, yeah.
Yeah. And where do you see the majority of your sales? Because I've seen on your Instagram, you post like what events you're going to and things. Do you mostly see the sales from those events and you just tell people like, if you want to come get some stuff to show out here, or do you get a lot from emailed orders?
So a lot of my sales come from orders online, like people that reach out and need orders for their weddings or like birthday parties. But I would also say that the pop-ups and like food festivals that I do, those bring in a lot more sales like all at once. Like, you know, the custom orders and stuff like that, those are like a weekly basis. Like people will email me an order, but the pop-ups, I would say, do a lot better, and like food festivals do a lot better just because I'm able to meet. It's like selling your products, but then also meeting potential customers for the future.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's like a marketing aspect to it. There's, you know, future orders and things like that from that pop-up, and then the current sales that you make at the pop-ups. Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you have anyone right now helping you on certain aspects of the business, or are you kind of wearing all the hats right now, or majority of the hats?
So right now it is still just me baking everything. My mom comes to the kitchen with me and she helps me with like prep work or like dishes and like packaging and things like that. But it is still just me like baking everything. During like my food festivals or like the pop-ups that I have, I usually hire like a baking assistant or someone to come in and just help me with like prep work and things like that throughout the week. So that is usually like whenever I have like a big festival or something like that where there's a lot more baking to do. And then I have someone on my website end who just helps me with like creating like editing things on the website, or helping me create spreadsheets for my orders and things like that. So I have someone doing that. And then, yeah, it's still very a small team, but yeah. It's been effective.
And I always like asking business owners this question, and I asked Bob the same thing, but let's say you were able, and when you reached that point where you could hire someone full time, who would that person be? Like, what skill set would you like to hire?
I would say definitely someone on like the admin side, because I don't like doing emails or just like a lot of the logistical stuff. I just really enjoy doing, but I have to do it. I just really enjoy baking and like being creative and, you know, providing products for people. And so I would definitely say someone that can do the admin, that can just do the emails for me, that can plan, you know, all of that stuff, the logistical things.
Okay. Yeah. And that's really, I feel like it's not very often you, I mean, I feel like they always tell you like to do a business, do something you love, but I feel like it's not very often you see that.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is, it's awesome because it's something like you did as a hobby just for fun, and then now you've been able to turn into a business and make money out of it.
Thanks.
Yeah, and what would, I keep asking for advice, but I'm curious, what would you say to someone that has a hobby they like, they don't want to go into another career, they kind of want to do that full time, and they want to turn it into a business, what would you say to them?
I would say just go for it. Because you never know what could happen. Like, you know, if you're still in school and you have like this idea, I would say look for, you know, resources to help, you know, fund it, or just workshops that could, you know, guide you in the entrepreneur route or like the venture that you're looking to go into. Talk to people that are within that field or whatever venture that you're going into or that you want to. Just like reach out to those people, get advice from them, see what their journey was like, and see if that's appealing to you. Because I feel like it's almost the same as, like, if you're not on the entrepreneur route, like, if you were going into, like, marketing, like, you would be getting different internships for marketing and, like, dabble in different fields and figure out what you like and don't like. So I feel like it applies to entrepreneurship as well. Like, reach out to those people, see what they did, see if you like it, and if not, then, like, you know, figure something else out. You know, there's always a bunch of things that you could go into or have interest in. So, yeah.
And pretty much just give it a shot. Yeah. Try it, see if you actually like it, and then move from there.
Yeah.
What would you say, this is a little bit of a pivot. Do you think you see most of your customers from in-person referrals, like word of mouth, or from your social medias?
I would say a lot of it is through social media, and then word of mouth would be second. Just because when I do pop-ups, that's how I'm able to meet people face-to-face, and then they're able to tell their friends and family about it, or like once someone places an order, they're able to tell their friends and family about it. But I would say social media is like the number one thing that from where I get my customers from, just because I feel like people eat with their eyes first, and when they see an image, or like when someone buys something and they take a photo of it and post it, like that goes a lot. Like the internet is so big, like when they post something, it just goes a long way versus from the word of mouth. But yeah, a lot of it is through social media.
I do love your social media feed. Thank it's you. Very colorful, like a very attractive feed.
Thanks.
Just I immediately feel hungry when I
look
at
you.
It.
Thank you. I try.
And I'm not even I'm not a huge dessert person either, but like I just look at it, I'm like, oh my God. Thank you. This looks so good. So with that, what has been your evolution in baking? Like the actual, your craft? Like how did you get into it? Like what first sparked your interest, and how has your evolution of becoming a better baker been?
Yeah, my earliest memory of baking was with my mom, just because like growing up my mom is very into birthdays, and she would always like make the cake box, like create a birthday cake for us like when we were younger. So my earliest memory was of me baking with my mom, and she told me to like hold these eggs for her. And I was, like, so scared of dropping it, so I was, like, squeezing it, and then it, like, exploded all over me, and it was, like, all over the kitchen and, like, on me. So, like, that was my first memory of, like, baking with my mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like, and that was my earliest memory. And then I was in my cupcake obsession phase because of Cupcake Wars and, like, Cake Boss and, like, Georgetown Cupcakes. And then that was like in high school, and then it wasn't until I had my first macaron and people were like obsessing over French macarons at the time. And so that was when I wanted to try making it. And from there I just stayed doing macarons, and then, creating macarons into like characters, like not your traditional circular macarons, so like turning them into like animals, and like, now I have a little printer, like an edible ink printer, so I'm able to like print logos and like print things on the macaron. So just like a lot of different things with like macarons, and like trying to find innovative ways to like turn a macaron into not a macaron, like something that's fun.
Yeah. Awesome. What's the toughest thing you've had to make, you would say?
The toughest thing I had to make, I don't think it was macaron related. I tried to make croissants because I wanted to get more into like yeast and like dough type of things. And so I tried to make croissants, and the process was so long. Like it was so many things that you had to do, and like rolling and everything. And I tried it once and I did okay at it, and I haven't gone back to experiment, but I think that was the hardest thing that I had to make. Yeah.
Oh man. I gotta be honest, I don't know a ton about baking, so I don't, like, if you tried to ask me to make, like, a cupcake, I couldn't really do it. Like, I couldn't do it off the top of my head. I would need, like, instructions step by step how to do it, and I still might mess it up.
You can still use cake boxes, no shame.
Do you have most of your recipes, like, memorized by now, or do you, like, how do you get recipes, or do you kind of write your own? How does that work?
When I first started, I did a lot of, like, blog research, YouTube research. A lot of what I learned is really from YouTube, and, like, blogging.
Me too,
honestly. Yeah, like, a lot of it was from YouTube, so I just picked up some recipe from a blog for macarons, and then over the years, I've just been like redeveloping it and like finding different techniques to like make it more efficient or make the texture of the cookie better, making the filling better. When I was doing cakes, also same thing. I just found a recipe on a blog and, you know, did a lot of trial. And now I've been, I have a lot of my cake recipes memorized. I memorized all my macaron recipes, but I still have like referral to like the recipes in case, you know.
Yeah. Are you like, do you think you're pretty, like, I guess it's an entrepreneurial thing. Maybe some people are like a little more controlling over their stuff. Like it's like, don't mess with my stuff. This is, I need it to be like done this way perfectly. Yeah. Do you think you're that way with the things you're baking? Like, do you think if you brought someone on, like you said, your mom helps, but let's say someone that isn't your mom, like someone you hired and you need them to help you with baking stuff. How are you kind of one that's like, oh, I don't want them to kind of get involved and mess up my process? Or are you pretty open? Like, okay, they could join and do their own thing.
I would say I'm kind of micromanaging and I'm working on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like, maybe that's why I've been kind of hesitant to bring on like a baker to help me with like baking the macarons and like the cakes and stuff, just because like this business is my baby and like I've been working so hard to develop all of this stuff. So, and I am the type of person that's like, it has to be in a particular way. Otherwise, like it's not like the right way, or like, it's just not the way that I want it. Like, I am a perfectionist and, I am kind of micromanaging, but I'm working on it. I think that's my goal for like next year, is to really like try and let go, because I think that's one of my weaknesses, is that it's hard for me to let things go and like be more at ease with it. So, and I think that's holding me back from a lot of, you know, help and like opportunities with like, you know, making things a lot more efficient from the way that they, that they are. So yes, I am kind of like that.
But I feel like it's also, like you said, you've been building this thing for years. It's like your child almost. And it's kind of hard to give it up to someone. And it's, I don't know. It is a tough thing to do. And it's also like, if you want to scale it, you kind of have to a little bit.
Right.
So you're put in a tough spot where it's like, oh, I don't want them to mess up my brand or like how it looks or So I get that a lot. So I guess we should probably get into some of these curiosity conversation questions, is what I call them. Let me just pull it up real quick. I should have had this ready. Okay. So the first question is, it's very broad, very open-ended, but what makes you different?
Like, what makes me different, or what makes the business different from other businesses?
You, the person.
What makes me different? I feel like my background and like how I grew up makes me different, just because both my parents are immigrants. So they were born in Vietnam and they traveled here with like no money, very little English. And so I think knowing that that's where my family came from, or my parents came from, that kind of pushes me to want to do better. And like, they came here for different opportunities, for opportunities for their family, for their kids. So I feel like that has shaped me to the way that I am, to be very hardworking and very driven. And I think that's why I'm very passionate and very hardworking in what I do, just because I feel like I'm trying to prove to my parents that, you know, they came here for the right reason, and that what the sacrifices that they made are worth it, because they were able to give us this opportunity to have opportunities that they didn't have when they grew up.
Yeah.
So I think that is kind of what makes me different.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And then along with that, kind of, this is a relevant question because I've been working on for hours on editing this YouTube video, asking people this question, but, so who is your hero and why?
Who is my hero? I think I would say my hero is my dad. Even though we've butt heads a lot, I think he has this like very tough love, just because of the way that he grew up and the way of how he got to America and how he, you know, all the sacrifices and things that he couldn't do growing up just because he had to take care of his family and take care of me and my brother and my mom. And like, so I think he is my biggest hero because he's made so many sacrifices for us. And he, you know, he didn't go to school. He didn't, you know, graduate because he had to work for his family and make money when they came to America. He came to America when he was 18. He didn't know any English. He had like $5 in his pocket, but yet he was able to, you know, get a job, you know, put a roof over our head, provide food for us, and put me and my brother through school. So I think he's my biggest hero. Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing. It's really crazy. Came here with not being able to speak much English, not a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's always so impressive to hear stories like that. Just like the amount of perseverance and like grit it takes to get through that. It's not easy. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So, what is the one thing in life that you are best at?
One thing in life that I'm best at?
I'll say also you can't say baking.
I was gonna say baking, but then I was like, you probably don't want me to say baking. What is something that I'm best at? I would maybe say like being creative. Can I say that?
yeah, for sure.
I feel like I'm creative within baking. I'm creative within, you know, finding ways to problem solve or like just thinking outside the box or being innovative. So I think, I think being creative.
Awesome. And this is a side question. Do you think creativity can be taught, or is it just you're given whatever creativity you're given? Kind of thing.
I think it depends on the environment that you're in. I think if that environment
like encourages creativity, then
I feel like if that environment encourages that type of creativity or gives you that freedom to think outside the box, then I think that's kind of where it comes out of.
Okay. So next question is, are you happy? And what makes you happy?
I am happy.
Nice.
I love what I get to do every day, and I love that I can create something and share it with people, and I love that these people, these customers have put in so much trust into me to create something for their special day, like their wedding, their birthdays, and I'm very appreciative of it, and I'm very happy in where I am. Glad that I went on this path, even though it can be hard and not always like rainbows and sunshine, but I love what I'm doing and I love sharing it with the people around me. Yeah.
And what good story is all rainbows and sunshines? You got to have the pitfalls and everything.
Yeah.
So, with that, I'm also curious, what's your favorite part about owning a business or the business that you do own? Is that your favorite part, you'd say?
Yeah. I think my favorite part is doing the pop-ups and being able to meet people, see like the kids come up to my booth and like, you know, see all the macarons and get to know me and get to know the customers and immersing myself into those different communities and meeting the people there and meeting other entrepreneurs that are also doing those pop-ups. Like I get to meet different people in different industries and get to know them and get to know more about their business and how they started. So it's a really great community. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Next one is, when in your life have you felt most alive? So like a particular moment in your life.
Oh, when have I felt more alive? I think when I won the pitch competition when I was at Montgomery College, because I think there was so much doubt about it before, about, you know, the baking profession. And when I won that competition, I really wasn't expecting it going into the competition. Like, I just did it for fun. And when I won, it really just validated and, like, showed me that I really can do it and that, like, this profession is very possible. And it just really validated everything that I was thinking and pushed me to just pursue it and take the opportunities that were coming at me and to just go for it. So I think that was when it really, like, clicked in my brain that, like, okay, I can do this full time. Like, this is very possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before that, did you kind of never see it as potentially being a business because you just didn't know if it was possible?
Yeah. I, like, before the competition, I was just doing it for fun. And I, like, I've seen bakeries and things like that, but, like, I never thought that, like, you should go to school and then, like, come out owning a, like, a baking business.
Yeah.
Like, I went into school because, you know, I was looking for a profession so that I could come out of school, you know, in a stable income or, like, a stable job and things like that was the mindset going into school. And never it never occurred to me that, like, I could choose a creative outlet and have that as a profession.
Okay. Next one is, what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
Okay. The best piece of advice I ever received, I was in an entrepreneurship class, and we had to interview someone that was within our profession. And this is why I'm saying you should go to school, because had I never done this class, then I never would have met this person. But I interviewed someone that was baking, that had her own baking business, and she told me that if you're really passionate about something, just keep doing it and keep going for it, and it will all just slowly start falling into place. And I feel like when I did the pitch competition and everything, it was really just, I was like, okay, everything is falling into place now. Like, I'm really passionate about baking. Like, it's just all coming together. So I think with hard work, passion, and drive, and you just keep going for it, it will just all work itself out. So I think that was the best piece of advice I ever got.
Nice. I like that. Could you go over a little bit? Because it seems like the pitch competition had a big impact. Could you maybe go over, like, kind of the process of it from finding out about it, application, to winning? Yes.
So when I was at Montgomery College, I learned about the pitch competition through a business class. And one of my friends that I met at community college had done the pitch competition the year before. So I was kind of helping her with that process, and she encouraged me to do it. So you pretty much just apply. Even if you don't have a business idea, you can still apply. So don't be discouraged to, like, not do it, because you don't have to have a concrete idea. It can just be, like, something that you wrote on paper, like an idea that you had.
So
you can still apply for it, and then there are workshops that go into it, like marketing workshops, financial workshops, just, like, things to teach you how to build your business or to start it.
Yeah.
And then there are pitching workshops, like presentation type of workshops. And then after all those workshops, you go through, there's, like, a semifinals, and then there's, like, a finals. So in semifinals, everyone just creates a pitch slide deck, and then you just, like, pitch it. And then they choose, like, four or five people or whatever it is to go to the finals round. So, yeah, that's pretty much kind of, like, the process in, at Montgomery College. And that was kind of similar at UMD for the pitch dangling competition. So we did, like, pitch practices and, like, slide deck type of advice courses and things like that. So, yeah, there were just a bunch of workshops that were very beneficial. And you networked with a lot of, like, entrepreneurs and people that are within the marketing field or financial field or, like, pitching, you know, things like that, public speaking. So I feel like it builds your confidence. Even if you don't have, like, a business idea, it's a great way to, you know, build confidence, take opportunities, learn more about different fields. So,
Very cool. And what would be, what'd you learn from, was the pitch, was it almost like a Shark Tank kind of thing, or was it a little bit longer? Like, you had a little bit more time to talk a little bit about your business.
I think we got, I think it was 5 or 6 minutes to pitch your idea or go through your slide. And then there was, like, a 2 to 3 minute, like, questionnaire portion. So the shark, so, like, the judges would, like, ask you, like, how you scale your business, or just, like, questions about, you know, why you need the money, or, like, what you're going to use the money for and things like that. So There's like a pitching mm-hmm. portion, and then there's a questionnaire portion, and then, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what was kind of the key to your pitch where you're like, for it to strike yeah. and like hit home to win the whole thing?
I would say is having very visual slides or having like photos on your slides, just because it's very appealing and the audience and the judges can like really see the process of like what you do. So if you have a product, or even if it's just like you don't have a physical product, if you just show like mm-hmm. your drawing of your prototype or even like some type of mm-hmm. digital example, I think having a visual is very helpful, and just having a very cohesive pitch, like within the colors, within the color scheme, within the text of everything, within the photos, and showing people with your product or just, you know, the prototype itself. So having a very visual pitch, I think, was very beneficial when I was pitching at school. Yeah.
Okay. I like that a lot. And it makes me think of, I was listening to this one mm-hmm. podcast the other day, and it was Rick Rubin. Mm-hmm. He's like a music producer. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how, like, when they're in the studio, they address or at least try out every idea that's brought to yeah. them. Because, like, you could talk about an idea mm-hmm. with someone, and they might just say it's bad because maybe you just explained it terribly. Yeah. And it just, in their head, it was just looked terrible. But the thing is, in, like, if you jumped into each other's minds and kind of looked at the idea from their perspective, right. it could be totally different from what you imagined. Right. So kind of, I like how you said drawing a prototype, mm-hmm. even if it doesn't exist, just to like help them visualize, because you could hear an idea, immediately think it's terrible right. just off your own perception. So yeah. I like that yeah. a lot. Okay. So back to, or actually I have another yeah. question, not on the Curiosity Tour, but who are some of the entrepreneurs that you look up to and like a lot?
I would say the entrepreneurs that I look up to would be people that are in the food industry, just like people mm-hmm. that, you know, started from like baking or cooking from home and then have been able to develop a business or like have, you know, a great food business and being able to share their food with the community and help, you know, people in the community by donating food or, you know, just like being
yeah.
in their community and sharing their food with those people. I think they're very hardworking, and the food industry is very hard. Yeah. Not that I'm saying, you know, other industries are easier, yeah. but just mm-hmm. I think because I'm in that baking, cooking, food industry, that you see a lot of, like, there's a lot of nitty-gritty things that happen in it, and I think those people are very hardworking and driven, and I look up to those people and commend those people that have had very successful food businesses and baking businesses, and yeah.
Yeah, and it's also, like, the goods that you're selling in that space are, mm-hmm. like, perishable, yeah. like, they could go bad, so that's a whole nother thing you gotta yeah. figure out.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask, where would be like the dream location to open up a spot? Would it be Clarksburg or would it be Frederick, or what would you say?
I don't have an ideal spot yet, but I know that mm-hmm. I want to stay within like Maryland or Virginia. I was thinking okay. like DC, but I feel like there's a lot happening in DC, and
yeah.
I think there's a lot of opportunity in Maryland and Virginia. I did entertain the idea of more in Frederick or the Clarksburg area, but it is kind of like out in its own island. So it's
yeah,
very
it really
like
is.
Specific, and it's very far from like Rockville and Bethesda, which is where a lot of my customers are in. I'm in like the Montgomery County area, but like I think Frederick is very far from everything. But I want to stay in like, yeah. Maryland, possibly Virginia. I don't know specifically where, okay. but within that area.
Okay, okay. Because immediately it comes to mind, like you mentioned, Georgetown yeah. Cupcakes. Like, I feel like that would be a nice area just because it's a densely populated. Right. But I feel like that's an obvious one. But okay, so next question on here is, I also did the last YouTube video mm-hmm. I did on this question. What is the best compliment you have ever received?
I think the best compliment I ever received was that someone was proud of me or that they were proud of what I was doing. Just because I feel like there's always a lot of doubt within the entrepreneur route or starting your own business.
Yeah.
And you don't always like have that confidence in yourself all the time. So I think hearing that someone was proud of what I was doing or that it was inspiring to them or they started doing something because of what I was doing, I think that also pushes me to like want to do better and continue what I do. So I think that was the best compliment I've gotten.
Nice. And do you feel like as an entrepreneur, you kind of, like, I think I have this issue sometimes where I kind of need like reassurance every once in a while where like, oh, you're going the right route. Like, it's not like you're doing all this for nothing.
Yeah.
Do you have someone in your life you would say that kind of gives you that reassurance every once in a while, or just it come from many places?
I would say like the baking group or the baking people that I've met. I'm in this like baker's group chat for like the Maryland, DC, Virginia area. And so,
that's awesome.
We always just like talk and like rant or just like, you know, just, you know, express ourselves in that group chat and like being in, being surrounded by them. And then just like going to my pop-ups and meeting those people that are like excited to come to my stand or like have told me that like, you know, they've traveled from Virginia to like come here to like find my pop-up, like, you know, those type of people.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
I think that has been very encouraging. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. Okay. So this next one is, if you had the opportunity to talk to your 10-year-old self, what would you want to say to them?
Wow. That's a great question.
It's always funny because people give their answers and I ask, like, what do you think your 10-year-old self would say? And they would be like, they always say, like, their 10-year-old self would probably just tell their older self to just shut up.
Yeah. And,
like, I'm not going to take your advice at all.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I feel like when you're, like, 10, you just, like, don't care about anything or, like, anyone's opinion.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't care. I think I would tell myself, my 10-year-old self, that you can be creative and that you should express yourself through those creative outlets and that, I think I would say that to my 10-year-old self because when I was 10, I was very into like painting and drawing and like the artistic type of things, but you know, my family would be like, there's no way that you can make money as an artist when you're older. Like, that there's no way. And so I think that was why I was so discouraged when I went to college to like not go in that creative outlet route. So I think I would tell my 10-year-old self to just be creative and go wild and like do whatever you want and like not let what other people are telling you or, you know, to not do, you know, so just go for it and just do something crazy.
I like that. And are you someone who believes that kind of you can make money doing anything you love? Do you believe that?
I do. Yeah. I feel like with a lot of hard work and passion and determination that you can turn, you know, a hobby or something that you enjoy doing into a job or make money out of it. But I don't think it may be true for everyone. Like, you know, the same thing as like, just try it out and see what happens. So I think really just trying it out and seeing if it does work out. And if not, then like pivot from it. But I think you truly can if you're really set on it and like, you go all in on it and just like give it a try. Cause if you don't, then like, you never know what could happen. Like maybe you could, maybe you couldn't. You just have to try it.
Yeah. To figure it out for yourself. Yeah. Okay. So last one, and then I will let you go cause you have places to be. You own a whole business. So, what would you want to say to the entire world if you had a platform where you could just talk to, I guess it's 8 billion people now. So all 8 billion people, what would you want to say?
Oh my gosh. what would I want to say to everyone?
I won't hold you to this. If you have the opportunity, you could change your answer, of course.
I would say to just have fun, just because you only live one life and you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, and just take that chance on yourself. Even if, you know, people are discouraging you to, like, not do something, take that chance for yourself and find out truly, you know, just go for it, have fun, and you never know what could happen. So, yeah. I feel like I've been saying that, awesome, the whole time, but, like, I really...
It's something that needs to be said, though, constantly, because it's such an important thing.
Just have fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it, taking time out of your day to join me. Where could everyone find you? How could they order some stuff from you, and all that?
Yes. Okay. So you can find me on my website at sweetsbycaroline.com. And then you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, social media, all at sweetsbycaroline.com. I take online orders, so you can order through the website. And then I also do pop-ups in D.C., Virginia, in Maryland, and you can find that all on my Instagram or my website. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Course,
I really appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed. And, yeah, thanks again, Caroline. All right. Bye, guys.